My name's Alex Pardo. You're listening to episode 520, and I got an awesome content jam-packed show for you today with Brett Abamanti. Now, if you don't know who Brett is, 20 years old, and this kid is just as sharp and as impressive as they come. He got into the real estate business about 2 years ago, and he actually connected with a friend and fellow Ascend member, Brett Iwanowitz, and started working with him in his company, Brett Buys Rock Houses, which is, you know, a Rochester, New York based wholesaling firm that, you know, Brett brought his unique skill set to the table. And that's, you know, data acquisition, outbound marketing campaigns. And on this episode, you know, we talk about how that chance encounter, or I shouldn't even call it a chance encounter, how Brett strategically places himself in a position to contribute, to help others, to add value. And he uses that to build relationships and how doors have opened up in his life and business as a result of that. You know, that working with Brett led to him learning about the self-storage business. And now at 20 years old, he and his partner have 47,000 square feet of storage under contract. He's about to wholesale another one for a $50,000 assignment fee. And so we talk about his journey in real estate and self-storage, how he got to this point. And it's just incredible how much you can learn from Brett and what he's been able to accomplish again at such a young age. So highly impressive individual. And I'm excited to introduce you to him and to have you listen to this show. So let's dive right in.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, my friends. Alex Pardo here. And, you know, I share with you how grateful and excited I am pretty often, I feel like, to be able to host this podcast. And one of the main reasons, aside from the fact that I feel like I'm putting the right people in front of you that can really help grow your business, give you more lifestyle, give you the freedom that so many people are after. And today's no different. In fact, I'm about to introduce you to somebody who is one of the youngest experts I have interviewed on the Flip Empire show. If he's not the youngest, he's probably like the second youngest. And he's just, I mean, the guy blows my mind on so many levels because of his approach to business. Just not only does he have the skill set, the talent that is required, but he works hard and he's just got the right mindset. He understands how to build relationships, how to add value. And he's just got a unique ability that he's really tapped into at a young age. So with that being said, Mr. Brett Abamanti, what's going on, my friend?
Thanks, man. How do I follow up that intro? That was hyping me up, man. Gosh.
Dude, that's easy, man. Just be yourself. That's how you follow it up. So yeah. I want to give people some context here. So a mutual friend of ours, Brett Iwanowitz, out in Rochester, New York. So Brett and I used to be part of a mastermind many years ago. And since he joined our Ascend mastermind, and I remember at one specific, like during Brett's turn, obviously without getting into the details of what he was sharing, you know, one of the things he talked about how he was so ecstatic because he had connected with this like young, ambitious kid in, you know, in his local market that was helping him create systems and was helping him automate the business and was really improving his marketing, like getting marketing lists, and how this young kid, the way that he kind of described you, Brett, it was like a game changer for his business. And I was intrigued by that. I'm like, wow, this guy, I mean, it sounds like Brett found a rock star here. That's amazing. Yeah. And then fast forward about a year or so, I joined Mike Wagner's Storage Rebellion community. And on one of my first calls, I see I had heard the name, but I had never put a face to it, Brett Abamanti. Yeah. And I'm on this storage call. It's like one of my first, you know, calls when it relates to the storage business. And I see Brett, and Brett's on there just dropping gems, like talking about, like, it was just clear the knowledge and expertise he had in storage. And Brett, how old are you, dude?
20 years old.
Yeah. Years old. Dude, you would run laps around the 20-year-old version of myself, man. Like at 20, I don't even want to tell you the kind of stuff I was getting into and like where my mind was at 20. Yeah. I was always pretty hungry and ambitious, but man, I didn't have even a quarter of just the knowledge and just the mindset that you possess, dude. So with that kind of being the backdrop,
yeah,
how did you even get to this point? 20 years old, you're networked with some of the best in the industry. Like, we're going to talk about your success in the storage business. How'd you even get to this point?
Well, I mean, my background's probably not as long as most people you interview. You know, most people may, hey, going back to 2008, 2003, maybe early 2010s, man, mine starts 2019. So not long ago. I think it was long ago, but it really isn't. Crazy. So I'm going to high school, and it's funny. I got the book. It's over there, but I'm a big numbers guy. So I got the book. It was the one about calculations and everything you need to know as an investor. To you know, calculate returns and all that. So I was getting enamored with it. During study hall, I was reading it. Built a calculator. It was terrible. It was horrible, but I had no practical experience to apply it to. Got banned from Bigger Pockets.
Did you really?
I did.
Well, we got to get into that story really quick. What happened?
I shared it. I was like, hey, can someone give me feedback? Sorry, my dogs and everyone in my house in the background. But I posted like, hey, give feedback. Feel free to use it. And then they said, hey, you can't do that because they have their own calculator to push. So they banned me there. It was like a temporary ban, but I was like, wow, I mean, they're not joking around. But fast forward, I try social media marketing, get sucked in, you know, that get right, dude, I'm going to kill it in this. I realized that wasn't for me. I was like, ah, gosh, I really don't like this. I like numbers. I like connecting with people, but this marketing is just not it for me. So go to community college, going to get an accounting degree. That was the plan, potentially CPA. And I was like, yeah, that's a safe route. Sounds good. Started watching Max Maxwell. And he was talking about, oh, man, wholesaling, it's great. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. Again, having the mindset of get rich quick, that was my mindset back then, you know, 2 years ago, not even. And I was like, this is going to be perfect. Bought books from Bigger Pockets, everything like that. Fast forward to the end of 2019, I'm doing good in college. First semester ends. Actually, that's probably beginning of 2020. First semester ends, and I've spent $2,500, which is a lot for me, all money I saved up on like these mailers. It was bad. I didn't get one call. I bought a list, which I didn't really vet the list. I bought it from the mail house, and I was defeated. I was like, this sucks. You know, I was really in my head, and then I started door knocking. Ironically, it was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? If this isn't going to work, I don't have the money to spend. I'm going to door knock. Got one lead, you know, nothing ever happened with it. Very unorganized, but always had a process mind, just didn't know how to apply it to a business or really anything. I was always, you know, a checklist guy. So fast forward to February of that year, bring out a VA, the cold call. That night, as I hire the person, I go to a local RIA group.
Right.
I didn't even want to go. I really didn't. And Brett was speaking, so Brett Iwanowitz. I think I answered a question in the crowd, went up to him after. We can kind of touch on this about building relationships.
Yeah.
I said, hi, how you doing? You know, small talk. Then I asked him, hey, look, I have this list. I'd be happy to share it with you. Because I didn't really know what to do with it, and he seemed like he knew what to do with it.
And this was a list that you built from door knocking primarily?
No, actually, it's in the local county we're in that Brett's in, that his business primarily, you know, works in. To get probate leads, you can't just go online. It's a very detailed process, and it's not clear. So during this time of door knocking, I was trying to figure out how to do it, to cold call the executors. So I figured out how to do it just as I met Brett. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to give the guy the list. I'm sure he knows what to do with it. That day, man, we scheduled a time to meet up at Starbucks and get coffee, which is a real cliche when it comes to mentors and connecting with people. Right. It was because I had given that list. He was open to it. And right there, we struck up a relationship in the February of last year and off to the races. I mean,
yeah. So I want to kind of hit the pause button for a second and rewind because there's so much to unpack there, Brett. Wow. So I wasn't even aware that you only got started 2 years ago, which just, it makes it even that much more impressive. Not only are you 20 years old, like your first introduction to real estate was in 2019. And here you are, you know, I'll tease people, but you know, you're involved in some pretty big deals now and you're well known in investor circles and you're well on your way. So have you always been, I want to kind of dive into the psychology a little bit, because again, at 20 years old, man, I can only speak for myself. I was always pretty hungry and ambitious and I knew I was going places in life, but I was interested in, you know, chasing women and partying and just having a good time with friends. And like, in fact, it wasn't until like I was 25 years old, I read more books after the age of 25. Like in other words, up until 25, I had maybe read 5-10 books in my life. Mm-hmm. After 25, I've read, I don't know, probably thousands. Yeah. So like, was your mindset just always like, hey, I'm not interested in the partying and what normal 20-year-olds do? And I say normal, like not in, yeah. in a bad way. I mean, like, dude, you're unique.
Yeah. First of all, I can't hang. So if that's going to give you anything, any idea, I can't hang. So because of that, I don't like it because, dude, I can't hang. I'm not about it. And then again, I'm not really a party person. Yeah. I enjoy hanging out with friends. That's kind of like my thing instead of like going out to parties. But played sports and I kind of lost the love for sports. It's weird to describe, but once I got into high school, it's just, it's not the same. So, you know, when I was younger, I would love it. I was all about it. I was all about baseball and hockey. And then it was like this moment where I was like, ah, man, I don't want to go do it. I don't want to get up early. I don't want to do this. And it was tough to come to grips with it because my parents pushed me to do it because I had expressed interest. I go to camps. But as I was getting into high school, it just kind of went away. And I always had a desire to be more of an entrepreneur, but I didn't really know what that meant.
Okay.
I had no way to channel it. So I was always looking for things to do. Uh-huh. And actually, my brother-in-law owned some rental properties, but didn't really ask him. But what happened was a big mind shift for me was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I know a lot of people say that.
Yeah. I've actually never heard that before, by the way. So I've never heard that.
I know I'm sure you haven't. It's a very rare book. Robert Kiyosaki really spoke to me. He was like, the way he talked about his life and how he went about it, it just seemed like a challenge to me. Like looking to find deals and just looking to grow money. It just sounded really intriguing.
That's interesting, Brett, because that book had an influence on me and probably, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions of people. I would have thought that you were heavily influenced by, you know, being an entrepreneur these days is sexy and cool. You know, you have the Shark Tanks of the world and, you know, you have social media influencers. And I would have thought that that might have played an influence considering you're so young, but it sounds like it wasn't.
It did. But what it did was touch on the psychology. It looked sexy, but I also was like, oh, I can't do that. Mm. That just looks too easy. It's too good to be true. Looks way too easy. Yeah. So, and sometimes I guess, you know, I still deal with it. It's just like you kind of, if you compare yourself to other people, you know, these influencers, you feel bad about yourself. And I take things way too personally. So I'm like, oh man, they're doing way better than I am. I mean, and it's kind of one of those doubt factors that creep in. So that's why books speak a little bit.
No doubt. There's a quote that I learned not that long ago, 2-3 years ago. I forgot who said it. I'd love to give them credit, but they said, comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. And that always just, that hit me between the eyes because that's one of the things I think people get sucked into social media. Social media can be good, can be used for the good, mm-hmm. but it can also be very negative on your mindset when you're constantly seeing the surface of what people project and put out there, but you don't know behind the scenes. And then sometimes you fall victim to comparing yourself and not feeling worthy enough or not feeling good enough. And it's complete BS. It's just a story we're telling ourselves. And we don't even really know what's going on behind the scenes of whatever, whoever's posting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So I helped it fuel me, but then like the problem when you let that fuel you, it's not, I don't feel like it's a good type of fuel. So if you're trying to lose weight and, you know, if you use, you know, let's say an example, some people, they get motivated by that. I want to eat healthier. I had a heart condition. I went through something traumatic, whether it was bullying or, you know, just something, you know, really bad that fuels them. But in my scenario, middle-class family, it's not like I went through any hardships by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
So when you take that as fuel, you're going to burn out really quickly because you've really, really never experienced, you know, in my instance, real pain mentally. So that's kind of how social media, I still follow everyone. I think it's good, but that's why books, I was able to, you don't visually see the flashy cars or the sexy numbers, anything like that.
Yeah, I love it, man. Well, I want to then now kind of jump a little forward to, you know, you talked about reaching out to Brett, somebody who was like on stage, you know, so he's seen as an authority figure. Most people wouldn't even, or many people wouldn't have the courage to even go introduce themselves. And if they did, I find that most people go about building relationships the wrong way, always wanting something, like asking for something. And you clearly knew that that wasn't the way. And you wanted to lead with value. So talk about how you go about building relationships, because I experienced it. When I joined that storage community, you came to me like just giving significantly more value than I was giving you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you were like volunteering. You saw that I was like, I was a sponge. I'm learning all this. And you've every now and then you check in on me. You send me a text. Hey, how are things going? You know, we'll talk about checklist. In fact, I want to go ahead and tease you. Like, we got a special show coming up. The next one is going to be Brett's going to share with you just some of his best strategies on checklist and SOPs. And when I'm telling you, it's like next level stuff. You're going to get so much value out of that. So talk about your mindset as far as building relationships and how you approach people that you want to connect with or just in general.
Yeah. So it's funny because you listen, I wanted to get rich quick, you know, back in 2019, and how do you shift to that? You know, books involved. But what I started seeing was if I'm this authority figure and someone's coming up to me, I'm probably not the only one. It's the same thing with direct mail or anything like that. How do I stand out and how do I get their attention? Mm-hmm. Because I want to be an asset, not a liability. Like, dude, why is he talking to me again? Like, how can I want someone to be excited when I'm talking to them. And how can I do that? It's most likely probably helping their business grow, helping them with a weak point. And the thing I struggled with was, what is providing value? You hear it, but what does that even mean?
Right.
What I've figured out is reaching out, introducing yourself, not discrediting your knowledge or anything like that, but how can you help someone? And it goes with wholesaling, buying storage, anything like that. It's how can you help the seller, this investor, business. And though it's even ironic, it might not even be a part of their business. I reached out to Brett and he needed help with something in his coaching business. Hey, how can I help you? Do you need help with a spreadsheet? Do you need help setting up Zapier? Like, what do you need? And not asking for anything in return. And you shouldn't expect it. But if it happens, that's the best thing because, you know, your network is your net worth. And now they have a good impression of you. So that's kind of how I approach it. Can I just do one thing to help their business? That's it. That's how I got in with Brett. I just gave him a list. Yeah. And for him and his business, it's a niche list. It's tough to get. Awesome. He didn't have to do the work. You know, for Alex, I reached out to him. We, you know, we stay connected. And going through his self-storage purchase, hey, Alex, here, I have a checklist.
Yeah.
You know, here you go. I mean, not asking for anything in return. I just want to help him.
Yep.
If that's going to make his, you know, first purchase easier, I mean, that's a win for me and a win for him.
No, it was huge. So that was less than a week ago. So I'm about to go under contract and go through the SBA process. And for anybody that knows that process, it's pretty lengthy and there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through. And Brett is kind of on the tail end of that process. And so, you know, he had just been through it. So he offered a checklist that he has probably put many, many hours into creating. And it's going to save me a lot of time. And so you're 100% right, Brett. You know, people, it's almost like adding value is so overused now. Like, I say it a lot. Everybody says it a lot. But do people even stop to like think and say, what does that even really mean to add value? And some people say, hey, how can I add value? But then they don't follow through. They don't actually execute and deliver the value. And you clearly have, man. So that's incredible that you've learned that. You've adopted that mindset and that you've actually like followed through with it. Yeah. And now, man, you're well known within some of the communities that we're a part of and you're highly respected, you know, and it's because you have that, you have a genuine approach to building relationships and actually adding that value.
And one thing I'll say is don't ask how you can add value. I mean, I'll use it sometimes if I know the person, but it's how can I help you? How can I serve you?
Yeah.
And it's not just necessarily, hey, you know, cold calling or whatever. It can be something so minuscule. Hey, I know a lender. Hey, I have a contact. And just give it to them.
That's right.
You know, it's just the law of reciprocity. I can't even pronounce the word.
Yeah. But, well, in our case, I remember we were having a conversation last week and you're like, hey, dude, I've gone through this process. I've put together this checklist. Do you want me to send it to you?
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, what am I going to say? No, of course I'm going to say, yeah, like, but you're going to save me a lot of time and headaches. So that's a great example of you not asking me, but you just recognizing that, hey, I could use this that you've already created and it took you hours to create it. You already have it, but it took you maybe a minute or two just to send it to me. And it's something I'm extremely grateful for. And at some point will be reciprocated, you know, not just by me, but like God, the universe, like energy, like, man, it's, when you just give of yourself and you're helping people, it's just amazing, like the doors that open up for you.
And the one thing I also touch on is some people, what they'll do, which is really funny, is they'll expect, and I thought this, you have to give something immediately. But you don't even need to do that. One point of contact, maybe you can call it the rule of ones. I have no idea. You know, contact initially, one contact, once a week, once a month, I mean, I don't care what you want to do. and then give them one thing. You know, provide value in one way.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just if you do those three ones, you probably have a good relationship, and then just follow up with them.
So recap that again. The rule of one is one contact.
One contact. So introducing yourself. They probably might not remember you. Doesn't matter. Get their email, phone number. I don't care. Follow up. So one contact every month, week, day. Probably not day, but you know, let's say week. I use a week because I think that's enough time. And then you can adjust it. And then one piece of value. So piece of value can mean a contact. Because what might happen is they'll share what they're doing and just figure out, like Alex is like, hey, I'm buying something. Oh, you might need this. You might want to use this. I don't know if you do. And you don't say have to take it. Just offer it up. Right. And if they want to, great. If not, that's okay too.
Yeah. And what's interesting, Brett, is that like in my example, I'm definitely going to use it. But even if I didn't need it, just the fact that you offered it up, it's basically just as good as if you'd actually like sent me something that I could use, because I remember that because it's different. In fact, I text you shortly after. I'm like, dude, you're like, I think I said you're a breath of fresh air, which is kind of a weird cliche. But it's like what I meant was that like I don't experience that often. And it's, you just, I really like the way you go about it. It's obviously you've built some strong relationships because of that approach. So I'm glad we had an opportunity to dive into that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, so when you approached Brett, it was single family. Talk to me about like your experience in the single family business and how you ultimately ended up transitioning over to the self-storage world.
Gosh, this, you know, it's funny. This ties back to following up and reaching out to people, because I wouldn't be in storage without Brett. And I credit a lot of that to Brett, and I'll make it full circle. So I get in with Brett, and I really don't know what I'm doing. I give him a list, and he just needs help automating some processes. You know, I have a programming background. I built some apps, really rudimentary back in the day. So I have an okay understanding. But start helping him with processes, building out SOPs, flow charts, and actually start cold calling for him, following up on leads. And I hate cold calling. I've tried it multiple times in my life. I know I can't hold myself to it. So it's one thing I've come to realize, I can't do it.
Okay.
That's okay. Anyways, I was cold calling for him. I was sending mailers for him. I was driving for dollars. So those three things, I said, hey, look, I'll reach out to sellers for you. I can get the list for you, which you hate. And I can drive for dollars. So, you know, getting lists. So I did that for 2 to 3 months, and you know, we're getting some leads, but it was really stagnant, and it was because I didn't even want to tell him, look, I can't cold call. You know, I wasn't hitting KPIs. Yeah. It just wasn't good. But him and I sat down and we had a great conversation. Our relationship grew stronger after we realized what our roles and responsibilities were. Mine were helping him get data. But how it ties into storage is Brett is friends with Mike Wagner. So if you don't know who Mike Wagner is, he's the owner of the Storage Rebellion. Awesome coach. Guy, I mean, just can't speak enough good things about him. Alex could probably echo on that. But
yeah, in fact, we've had him on. It's been probably a year and a half, 2 years since Mike's been on the show. I got to get him back on, but we'll link that episode up in the show notes. But yeah, fantastic dude.
Yeah. He's from Rochester. So, I mean, I probably live 15 minutes from him. So, I mean, it's not far. And one of the results of that conversation I had with Brett was, you know, one of the things I wanted to get into was rentals. But with COVID and the eviction moratoriums and just this, and I'm like, I don't think that's going to be my path to the life I want to live.
Yep.
And it just isn't the option for me. I want something a little bit more hands-on that I can, you know, manipulate, add value to. So he had mentioned, hey, look, I've never looked into it, but there's this guy, Mike Wagner. You should check him out. And that was in July of last year.
Wow. So, not even a year ago.
Not even a year ago. And I was like, all right, you know, I'll do it. But I've looked at all so many of these courses, and Mike resonates with me so well that I was like, I just ate it up. I was watching all those YouTube videos, and it was actually funny. Brett and I were going to buy our first storage facility together in September. It was a deal I found through a direct mailer. Anyways, that deal fell through for a number of reasons. But I got in the door with Brett. And because I was helping him in his business, he offered me something, a referral that he didn't even know was going to be useful. He was like, I know this guy. And that's how I got into storage, just by telling Brett, you know, I think you do an exercise potentially where it's like your one want and one need. Hey, I would like this, and I can provide this, or one provide, you know, one give, one ask. So we did that. And that was my ask. I'm like, I'm just looking for an option to build wealth quicker through a different vehicle. And he said, look into this. So That's how I actually got into storage. It was through Brett.
So let's follow the chain here. You got exposed to real estate through Max Maxwell.
Yep.
Right? That prompted you to take action and go to AREA.
Yep.
Where you heard and met Brett. You then had the courage to approach him after. You led with value. You met with him. You built a relationship because you continued to contribute value. And then by chance, you just happened, you knew what you wanted, which was, hey, I want a better vehicle to build wealth. So you had clarity. You mentioned that to him, which sometimes people don't do that. They don't publish their goals and their desires with the universe, whatever you want to call it. And as a result, he kind of like lobbed a suggestion your way that he probably didn't think was going to go anywhere. And right. Now I think it's a perfect segue into like you started eating up all this storage content. And Where are you today in your storage business?
Yeah. So right now I've had two or three properties under contract that have fallen through since September of last year. Currently we're under contract in 47,000 square feet of storage. Ooh. One is close. I mean, dude, we're on a 5-yard line.
Yeah.
I talked about that before the show, but there's been drama. And then again, goes back to being a problem solver. The other one, we're actually wholesaling out to Ian Horowitz and Michael Casey of Equity Warehouse.
Yeah.
Fastline Capital. That thing had some hair on it, but that's why we did it. And then there's a couple other deals in the pipeline. We're just nurturing, building relationships with the seller. Actually, I call the seller every 3 days. I say hi. I actually met him in person and I took pictures of his office because it's really telling what people post on their wall. He had a local dog shelter posted up. He had a 1980 black Corvette outside. So I just touch on it. I keep reminding up, make a donation to the local group.
You're good, Brett. You're good, man. You're good.
Anyways, right now we're under contract on that 47,000 square feet. Both are set to close in June. And then we're just looking to scale up to 100,000 square feet by the end of 2021. It's ambitious, but we'll get there.
If I'm betting on you getting there, that's for sure. 20 years old, and you're a month away from closing on a 47,000 square foot facility.
Well, it's two different ones.
Total 47,000
square feet. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible, man. Incredible. So I want to dive into some of the numbers, whatever you can share as it relates to that. I know, obviously, you're about a month away from closing, so I don't want to jinx it. I want to kind of just get big picture. But something just kind of struck me now. When you got started in real estate, you had some adversity. Mm-hmm. And you could have easily quit and just kind of different path. Mm-hmm. When you got started in storage, you said you had three facilities under contract.
Yep.
And they fell through.
Yep.
And I know the work that goes into getting a storage facility under contract. You know, it's very different than the single family world mm-hmm. where you can just quickly run comps. I mean, it's a little bit more involved to underwrite the facilities and check competition, et cetera. But, and then it's, really, the work begins after you go under contract and the due diligence and everything you have to do there. So you haven't been shaken by any of the adversity. You haven't been shaken by any of the setbacks. Talk to us about just kind of your mindset and approach with regards to, hey, here's a goal. I'm going after it. And then you have these setbacks. You have things that fall through.
Yeah, it's tough. It really is. Because, you know, I mean, last year at May, you know, last year around November, I was like, man, I'm gonna have 50,000 under contract. Or closed by June of next year. And that's not going to happen. And that's okay. So whenever I see it, it's if I can get better a little bit, if a deal falls through, it stinks. As long as I get my money back and the time and energy I've spent is basically what I equate to learning.
Yeah.
And I'm always growing. So that I get more from that, though, than a book. Because I had to go through it. I had to go through trying to get financing, you know, raise capital, things like that. So it stings. One of them really did sting because I thought this deal was smoking. Like it was right out of a barrel, 100% full. It was a small deal, but the guy wanted 180K.
How many square feet?
10,000 square feet.
Okay. 100%. What was the net operating income?
It was 41,000. I mean, smoking deal. 10 cap, it's 410K. I mean,
You're buying it for less than half of what it's worth right now.
Yeah. And I tried.
Significantly.
And what I tried doing was getting seller financing without really understanding how to negotiate a seller carry. And what I should have realized was just take it.
Yeah.
I tried getting cute and not even realizing how to negotiate a seller carry deal, what that looked like, how do you structure it. And he ultimately decided not to sell. So those are learning experiences where really discouraging, but I was like, okay, where did I go wrong in this process? One, don't get greedy. And then two, I messed this up because I didn't really understand what seller carry meant. Let me figure out what that means.
Right.
So that's kind of how that went. And then just building. So I can share in some numbers on these two deals and then where we found them.
Okay. I'm glad you said that because you have a unique ability to like market and find great opportunities. So I definitely want to touch on that. But yeah, give us some of the numbers on these facilities that you're going to close.
Yeah. So I'll give you the wholesale one. It's in Arkansas. It's 32,000 square feet. I found it through a Business Buy website. I mean, usually you don't find them there, but it looked like a really weird listing. It was listed for 40,000 square feet. Looked like a real dog. Had it at 1.4. I said, seems in the ballpark. Let me reach out to him. Initiated contact in January of this year, and it was just follow-up after follow-up after follow-up. Hey, can you get this document? Follow-up, follow-up. We get it under contract for a seller financing. They were going to hold the whole note for $1 million. It was going to be, I want to say, I don't remember correctly, but a three-year note, interest only.
Okay.
And like $200,000 out of pocket. I mean, pretty good. The problem, documentation was really bad.
Okay.
And I couldn't reconcile the numbers. I was like, something's not adding up. Asked for a couple more documentation, you know, spending a lot of time. It's weeks now. I finally get, hey, look, it's only 32,000 square feet, you know, 35 less units.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. So I said, you know, this is a good opportunity. I've never retraded or renegotiated a deal. This is the time to do it.
Yeah.
And I got the thing locked up, cash offer for $675,000.
Whoa. Hold on. Back it up, dude. 1.4 is what they were asking.
Yeah.
And you got it for 600, what, 25K?
675.
675, and they were asking 1.4.
Yeah, it's through brokers. And I can kind of touch on why. It's not like you can go up to someone and that, you know, offer half off. There is a whole, you know, barriers we had to go through. One, couldn't get financing. No one's going to lend on this, especially with COVID. It's not cash flowing enough. No one's going to lend on it. So you have to hold paper.
Yeah, it's a complete value add turnaround deal.
It completely. I mean, yeah. It probably needs six figures worth of CapEx. It's rough. So I said, look, you're not going to get lending on this. Can you hold paper? I mean, that's the only way I can close it. Your other option is a cash buyer, but for $1 million,
good luck. Really
limited buyer pool. You've had it listed for 8 months. So here's an option I can provide. This is how I can help. They accept it, went through due diligence, and I'm like, look, you misrepresented everything. They misrepresented, you know, rent roll information, not only on the square footage and units, but how much they were getting. They had just deposit, you know, receipts. I mean, so I was like, look, it's going to take us 6 months to really turn this thing around, to reconcile the records, kick out all the bad tenants, clean it out, do the CapEx. And
at least 6 months.
At least. And that's probably ambitious, but yeah. I said 6 months. Really don't know the timeline. I've never done one. So, I mean, that's kind of a number I'm pulling out of my rear. Yeah. But I said, here's two options. We agreed at this price with this, with my knowledge at the time, this is what I offered. You accepted, you know, after rerunning the numbers and reconciling all the documentation, this is what I can do. I offered two options, the seller carry around 800,000 and then cash offer 675. And okay. I was really okay with it because I was like, if they don't want it, I understand, but this is going to need to be a really good deal to go under contract for. And they took
it. What was the seller's motivation? Why were they selling?
So their grandfather had built the property. It was in a trustee. It was three of them. And it was just starting to get run down, and they wanted to cash out. They were just like, we're done with it. It's not performing to what it needed to be.
Yeah.
It was only generating $84,000 of revenue a year, which 250 units is 240.
That's
bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're paying their cousin who was living in the home on the property, like 30K a year to manage it. It was rough. They just wanted to move on.
Sounds like kind of doing rough math in my head, but you're basically buying it around the 12 cap ish, somewhere in that ballpark.
At closing, no. I have to look back at the it's been over a month since we assigned it, but it's, once it's stabilized, it should be worth around 1.3 to 1.4.
And can you share what you wholesaled it for?
Yeah, we wholesaled it to 725,000. We were looking for 775, but we assigned it to a local group who, they already have boots on the ground.
Yep.
They're not going to back out. Hey, look, this is what we can pay.
Yeah, they're strong buyers. Great guys. So 50K wholesale fee, dude.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome, man. 50 grand. Uh-huh. At 20 years old, I'm trying to think, man. At 20 years old, I was making, I don't know, man. I'm guessing probably 15 bucks an hour working at a bank while I was in college. Mm-hmm. Here you are about to close on a $50,000 assignment fee on a storage deal, man. That's pretty awesome.
I will say, to make this full circle, I have a partner and we met. It's all about providing value. This is crazy. We met through the Storage Rebellion. And we connected because I was active. He was active. We met up offline and I think I offered, I forget what I offered. I tried to offer some help. I think it was a list maybe again. Maybe it wasn't. I don't really remember, but
yeah,
we connected and we're partners. I can share his name. His name's Kirk Bausch, big mobile home park guy. And
incredible, man. That's so awesome, man. I can't wait to watch your journey unfold. And this is what you're doing at 20. Imagine what you're going to be doing at 30 and 40. And that's not to say you're not going to have, you know, again, we talk about the adversity, the setbacks. I mean, count on it. But yeah, the fact that you view those as learning and growing experiences, because you and I both know, Brett, that you have learned significantly more about storage and anything else you apply yourself to by throwing yourself into it. Yeah. Kind of diving into the deep end of the pool versus just picking up a book or listening to a podcast about it.
Yeah. And those are really great and they help, but sometimes they paralyze me sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh gosh, like I need to know X, Y, and Z. And it kind of goes back to what, you know, you'll air on Thursday of throw yourself into the fire and then like, don't just like figure it out then be like, oh crap, what did I do? Like, dude, write it out. Like, what did you do? What would you change to make your life easier? I know I did this on this Georgia deal. I could share. Like, we've had to ask for 3 extensions. The seller's been upset with us. We have to rewrite the purchase agreement. There's a chance we could lose the deal.
Don't even throw that out there, man. You're not losing this deal.
But we're not going to lose it, but I'm just saying there's a chance. And the reason I say that is because why is there a chance? Like, what can I do moving forward?
Yeah.
So this never happens again. You know, it might, but what can I do to reduce the odds? Having any friction with the seller, setting expectations, because I could easily be like, you know what? The lender's just taking forever and that's their fault. And it's easy to point the finger at them, but is it all their fault? And
yeah,
you can't find a reason. You're probably not looking hard enough. Not to, you know, be hard on yourself, but I'm just trying to, hey, how can I just be better at every turn? Right.
I'm glad you said that because I'm going to ask you where people can reach out and connect with you. But before we go there, why don't you preview or tease what you're going to talk about on the upcoming show? I believe it's going to be episode 521.
Yeah, so I'm going to share my process relating to buying a storage facility. I'm a newer investor, but how can I, moving forward, systemize it and make my life a lot easier and feel more confident writing offers, buying properties, and making sure the turnaround is as soon as possible to add the most value.
Yeah.
So I'll be sharing that, the checklist I've built, and kind of touch on the last point, like Alex said, the segue into this, just how can you be a better investor, better buyer, so all parties involved in the transaction are happy.
Yeah, absolutely love it. And by the way, so we haven't recorded that episode yet, but my guess is that even if you're not interested in storage, a lot of what he shares, just the process of building a checklist, the importance of that is something you can apply to your single family business or any other business that you might be a part of. So awesome, Brett. Man, this has been incredible. And you're a big inspiration, man. I really commend you, dude, for the type of person you are and just for being willing to come on here and just kind of share, because I know it will help a lot of people. So where's the best place to reach out with you?
Yes, very active in a lot of groups, like Alex mentioned. My Instagram, at Brett Evimani. Facebook, pretty much the same. I have a couple Facebook profiles. I don't know why. Maybe some hacked accounts. You can also find me in the Storage Rebellion, like Alex mentioned. And you can also find me on some other Facebook groups related to mobile home parks, storage, real estate, you name it. I'm probably trying to be in there.
Yep, I love it. So did I get that right? At Brett Abamonte?
This is getting bad, but I'm going to check.
Yeah, yeah, double check because I'm throwing it on the screen here. But in the meantime, while Brett's looking that up, guys, if you just go to IG and you search for Brett Abamonte, you'll find him. Really, just look for the youngest dude. Look for a thin guy, you know, black. You'll find him. And while he's looking that up, you know, one thing that I can attest to is he's very active. And he's constantly just networking and reaching out to people. And that's why he's so good at building relationships. And that's why he's in the position that he's into or that he's in right now.
I will say my Facebook is my last name, then first initial. So okay. I messed you up there, but
yeah. No, you're good. So Facebook is Abamante B.
Yep. That's me.
Okay. Awesome, man. Well, Brett, my man, it was awesome to get you on the show. Thank you for being willing to just open up. And dude, you really are an open book. So I encourage anybody listening to this, if you reach out to Brett, super humble, just wants to help, wants to grow, and there could be synergistic opportunities. So I would encourage you, similar to how he approached Brett and how he and I connected, I would encourage you to reach out to him. And if there's one thing I hope you take from this, is just lead with value. How can you help Brett, right? Knowing him, chances are he's going to flip it on you and see how he can help you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But, you know, in all seriousness, and I was being serious when I said that, but just lead with value. I need to find another word for value, Brett. Maybe you can help me there. But
dude, we call it the triple ones. I don't know.
Triple one, the rule of one. I absolutely love that. The triple one. So one contact once a week and give them something of value, right?
Yeah. So you reach out to them once, you follow up with them once every month, day, week, year,
whatever. Yeah.
And then provide them one thing of value. And then continue. Maybe the rule of four once. I don't know. But we can up with that on the spot.
Love it, man. The rule of one. Brett, cool. So guys, again, make sure to tune into episode 521. This dude is a ninja when it comes to finding deals, SOPs, building relationships, checklist. And we're going to dive into that. We're going to keep it short, sweet, and jammed with content that can really help you. So again, make sure to tune into episode 521. And if you're not subscribed, every Monday morning, every Thursday morning, I got shows coming out. Please subscribe so that you're notified. And I look forward to putting the cream of the crop in front of you like my man Brett here. So with that being said, have an amazing day. Go get it. And I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, buddy. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed that Flip Empire episode and got a lot of value out of it. Make sure to check the show notes page for any resources that were mentioned. And speaking of resources, honestly, I don't think I've done the best job of sharing with you my top curated, highly recommended tools and resources that I use in my business or have used in my business. In some cases, these are affiliate relationships with people that I highly trust and respect. And I know these tools and resources can help you and your business go to the next level. And as an ethical bribe, if you decide to try out one of these resources using my link, I will go ahead and send you an unadvertised bonus. I'll send you something of high value. All you got to do is shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. Go ahead and let me know that you tried out this resource. And however I can help you getting started with that, chances are that I know it very, very well and currently use it or have used it. So make sure to check that out, flipempire.com/resources. And if I can be of help or service to you in any way, just shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com, and I will do anything I can for you. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the next show.